I would say, man, it's life is crazy and life is short, and do what you love and have fun, because my dad always told me, if you do what you love, you're never going to work a day in your life.
Day Podcast Radio Show with Bruce Hilliard. Today and every day, reaching out for innovative ideas in every way. Today's show is brought to you by Your Future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
Hi, my name is Bruce Hilliard, and this is the Better Each Day Podcast Radio Show. I'm glad you're here, and once again, every day in every way, it's just getting better and better. Singer-songwriter from San Antonio, Texas. I've been teasing him about being too humble. Today, we're lucky to have Jeremy Parsons, up-and-coming superstar. What do you think about that?
Did the up-and-coming superstar part?
Yeah.
Well, it's never gonna be not weird to hear, that's for sure. But I'm glad to be here.
How about the Jeremy Parsons part? Did your mom name you that, or how'd you get that?
I think I was supposed to be a junior, but they said my dad's ego was too big already, so they didn't want to have it like a second version of him running around. So
a clone.
They just named me Jeremy. It's close. His name is Jerry, so it was close enough, I guess.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Thank your mom. It's a good name.
Yeah.
So where are you currently playing?
I'm in Nashville right now, and I'm here pretty much every weekend currently, looking to get out a little bit more this summer. But you can find me downtown every weekend in multiple spots, specifically down at Swingin' Doors Saloon. I play there Friday through Saturday consistently. We get a good crowd through there. It's cool playing in downtown Nashville, because you get all walks of life from everywhere. It's just the hub. You're plugged into all over the United States and even outside of the United States as well.
I've heard it said that nobody in Nashville is actually from Nashville. I don't know if that's true, or you know.
It's pretty true. We have the locals, we call them unicorns, because there's so few of them.
You can spot them because they have a horn on their forehead, or how does
absolutely
that...
stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah,
but you're from San Antonio, right?
Yeah, I was born and raised down in Southwest Texas. Yeah, AKA Northern Mexico. Yeah.
But I looked at your schedule, and it looks like you're booked in Nashville to the year 2032 or something.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, contracts. You know, no, I'm joking. It's we just. We just put that because it just feels like it sometimes.
You've got a very unique sound. I would recognize your voice after one hearing, and even your talking voice. Very interesting.
Yeah, thanks. Unique is always the nice word. I always thought I sounded weird, but people use the word unique a lot. I guess it's a good thing. I'm still here, and they're still listening, so.
What I found out from music and radio announcing is nobody likes their voice, it turns out. So
yeah, and that's always weird, because you always have to listen down to your songs. Like when you go into the studio and record, you have to listen back to it, and that's always like, can we just make this process go as fast as we possibly can so we can move on? You know?
You mean you don't want to do it over and over and over until it's perfect?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing worse than having you stuck in your own head as if you weren't there already.
I know. I gargle with some Drano and get me out of my head. So I've listened to your music. My God, you've written some great songs. What are some of your favorites, and why don't you share with us?
Some of my favorites are one that really stands out is Why Is the Bluebird Blue. That's just one of my, and that's a fan favorite too. I've been playing that around town a while, and everyone just really connects with it. It originally, my favorite story with that song is that it wasn't originally going to be on this album, but we did a Kickstarter for it and stuff, and the fans pulled through on the initial the goal that we had set, and they even surpassed it. And because they surpassed it, we were able to put an extra song on the record. And Why Is the Bluebird Blue was that song. And it was really flattering because it was kind of in high demand, so much so that I went out on the town one night. My buddy, who's about 6'5", he looked me straight in the face. Well, he looked down at me and then straight in my face and then said, if you don't put that song on the record, I'm going to kill you. So I was like, you know what? I think we should put that song on the record.
That's
what
good,
do you think?
Good inspiration, yeah.
Yeah.
I like
it's
that.
It's weird. Just that little push, you know? That's all you need sometimes.
Graphic equalizer, I call that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what was the inspiration behind the song?
The song itself, my dad is like really into birds. Like he's an ornithological nerd, I guess is the best way to put it.
That's a lot of syllables, but yeah, go for it.
I know. I love that word it though. Is. It's so, it makes me sound smarter than I am. I enjoy saying it.
yeah, it's important. Use big words so people think you're smart. I like
absolutely. Fake it till you make it. But yeah, I've always loved like sitting and just people watching and just watching stuff in general. And I was sitting on the porch with my buddy. The story behind it is actually not as there's no heartbreak story or anything, but I was sitting on the porch with my buddy playing guitar and he goes, "Hey man, look at that bluebird." And I'm like, "That's a blue jay, you idiot." And then I guess like on the drive back to my place, I was like, "Why is the bluebird blue?" popped into my head. Cause I don't know. I guess it one of those things, it was just meant to be and it found me or whatever. But the story behind it was just funny. He goes, "Look at that bluebird." I was like, "That's a blue jay. How dare you?"
Look out my window. What do I see? A little bluebird looking back at me. He sings a song all alone in his nest, and I wonder if he's singing about loneliness. I open my window and take it all in as I listen to a number by my new blue friend. Is he looking for a lover or did one just leave? Does he really feel blue or does his color deceive? Tell me, why is the bluebird blue? Is a song he sings a somber tune? Does he feel like I feel since I lost you? Tell me, why is the bluebird blue? A hummingbird don't hang around too long. A mockingbird makes a living off of other bird songs. And I heard somewhere that a robin weeps, but the bluebird is still one that I can't read. Why is the bluebird blue? Is a song he sings a somber tune? Does he feel like I feel since I lost you? Tell me, why is the bluebird blue? Spring is out and there's love in the air, and I know that I've got plenty to share. The bluebird's blueing, but it's so in my hand. I feel about as low as the bluebird flies. Tell me, why is the bluebird blue? Is a song he sings a somber tune? Does he feel like I feel since I lost you? Tell me, why is the bluebird? Why is the bluebird blue? Is a song he sings a somber tune? Does he feel like I feel since I lost you? Tell me, why is the bluebird blue? Yeah, baby, why is the bluebird blue? Tell me, why is the bluebird blue?
That's cool. So That's a Blue Jay, You Idiot wasn't going to be a good song title.
No, it didn't have as sweet of a flow for some reason.
I see the poetic value in that. That's cool, though. I think a lot of people just bring what they bring to your lyrics anyway. A lot of people just write ambiguity, and everybody will say it's about this or that or the sound of silence. What does that mean? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's like listening to old Dylan. You're like, I don't even know if he knew what he was talking about sometimes.
Probably not. It's kind of a stream of consciousness writing where you start. Yeah. It starts and ends, and whatever happened in the middle was, who knows.
It was deep, man.
You got it. Okay. All right. Now that we're out of the deep stuff, give me another song. What's another one that people say, play this?
Another one is Burn This House Down. It was a lead-off single off the record. That one comes from a slightly heavier place, and by slightly I mean way heavier. That was about my parents got a divorce after like 48 years of marriage, and it was to say the least sloppy and handled poorly on one end of that the relationship, and that's about me going home for the first time and kind of stepping into a place. You know, you grow up. I was there for 21 years, went to college for a little bit, then came up here and started pursuing music more seriously. And you know, you go back and like a place that's been your home your entire life. There's always been, you know, these certain people, key figures there, and you walk in and one of them's gone, and like just so much has changed, and it's about metaphorically dealing with that by burning it down and starting anew from the ash and trying to find yourself in all of that that mess.
I watched the video, and it pretty much spells it out. Who is the young lady in the video?
The young lady is a girl that we had in the video who I ended up dating for about like 6 or 8 months after that video, that relationship ended pretty much how the song went.
I was gonna say this wasn't self-prophecy.
Yeah, it's you know, it's one of those people, you know, when you like people because they're attractive but they just end up being nuts. It was one of those deals. But it was funny on the set of that video. She goes, I really like you. And I was like, oh, I really like you too. She's like, wouldn't it be funny if we broke up after, like, you know, if we like got together and then broke up after this and everyone saw this video? I was like, actually, it would make entirely too much sense to me. That would be awesome.
I think there's a song in that, Jeremy.
Yeah, there you go. It's almost like it's, if you're going to jinx it before it starts, then yeah, it's going to.
So at the end of the deal, you've got gasoline all over the house and everything, and you're gonna torch it. Did you actually burn the house down?
No, my buddies lived there, and they were really. I tried to call them selfish. They wouldn't let us do it, but three of my really close friends were living there at the time, and I don't know. I had mixed feelings about it. I wanted to just for the you know, theatric feel of it, but. Also, you know, having a roof over your head is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, well, yeah. We'll let them get away with it this time.
Yeah, we let them have that one. Yeah. That one time. They get one by.
Yeah, but if they're here, you got to do another video about burning houses down.
Yeah, they're absolutely.
They're going to drop and roll.
There's a memory in every single room. I'm gonna need to pack up a few things. Whatever don't break my heart to see. Looking around, I don't see much, much that's been untouched. Everything must go, pictures and clothes, and I guess I don't need them. Say that it could have been fixed when I knew damn well that it couldn't be. With an old matchbook and a can of gas, I said goodbye to what we had. Two-story reminder of a love that didn't work out. I knew I had to burn this house down. Oh yeah, I knew I had to burn this. I'm gonna have to burn this house down.
Another good one is a circumstance. I wrote that for my dad, and that was one I got off the phone. And it's a lot of this is written around the time of the divorce, and my dad has always been my biggest supporter and probably the person that I look up to the most, just as far as like he's always tried to do the right thing and stay focused on his passions and like you know feed his soul, you know, because life is too short, and I really like the way that he's lived his, and I try to apply that to mine, but Dad's always really been in my corner, and he's the guy that when I write a new song, he's always excited to hear it. So I'll email it to him or message it to him somehow, and he'll listen to it. So that circumstance was written like the chorus is like you never blame even though you had the chance, because you know being a musician is tough and you don't make it overnight. But like you know if I'm feeling down or something, like I'm in a lull because you know, a show didn't go well, I can always call him, and he's like there in my corner to pick me up. So I wrote that as a thank you to him, and they adopted me. I'm adopted, so they took me in really young. So I've multiple things to be grateful for, and even through the divorce, he stayed like really strong and was still my rock, even in a low point for himself. So I wrote that as like a high five to him, so to speak. It's like, man, you're the man. Thank you for being you and letting me be me, type of thing.
That may be the most precious thing you ever have, actually, you know?
Yeah, really, it really is. It's funny how, like, sometimes, like, all you just need is that one person. It can make all the difference, you know?
No, I never felt at home here. That's why I took off on the run. You gave your blessing at the time. You said just stay left to the sun. So that's what I done. Freedom's what my soul's seeking. And what my heart was longing for. trying to find some peace of mind, or a little something more, yeah, a whole lot more. And you, oh, you never blame me, and God knows you had your chance, but you would have done the same thing. And you never wanted that for me. You said the world would drag you down, boy, don't let it clip your wings. So I flew free. And you, oh, you never blame me. And God knows you had your to be honest, would have never got to take one breath if it hadn't been for you. Oh, it would have meant my death in a different circumstance. And you, oh, you never blame me.
This will segue well into the next question. What were your early influences?
My early influences were Hank Williams Sr. Like being adopted, I was adopted by my grandparents, so they were older. So my dad loved traditional country, so I grew up on a Hank Williams Sr. was one of the first voices I ever connected with. And Why Is the Bluebird Blue is kind of written as a homage to that era. It's got a really throwback feel to it. And I also love George Strait growing up in San Antonio. He's kind of like, you know, there's God, Jesus, and George Strait in Texas, and I think that's like usually the order it goes in. And he's a San Antonio boy. He lived like right down the road from where I was, so I loved all of his stuff in the 90s. He had that cool country swing thing going. And as I got into more of the red dirt Texas country stuff when I was in middle school and high school, and that's kind of where the sound that I have now developed in it, which eventually turned into Americana. All that stuff bled into that genre when it blew up and became known. But yeah, I like all kinds of music, to be honest with you, but like Hank Sr., I've always gravitated toward unique voices, and he's always been one of my favorites.
We even have a song the night Hank Williams died, right?
Yeah, on my first record. Yeah, I love his history with stuff like that. And I just went nuts and read a bunch of books about him, and actually ended up working with the Hank Estate for a little bit and got to be part of a lot of really cool, got to wear his tie and, like, you know, sit in the back seat of the car that he died in. Like, it was just, yeah, I got to nerd out a little bit. It was pretty cool.
That's cool. You've got a ton of passion for this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, you know, you have these things. It's like, and I was always just so, blown. Like, that man dropped out of the fifth grade. Like, if you look it up, like, he wrote, like, the song "I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry." Like, that is that's like Edgar Allan Poe beautiful. Like, it's got that dark undertone, but still this, like, really just beautifully written piece. You can read it like poetry.
It's been covered by a million people too.
So many. Like, and he inspired guys like that I also love too, like Bob Dylan and like just so many others. And like guys who have, you know, I mean, to say the least, made waves, you know, in just historical, like, key figures.
How did he do that? His songs are simple, but they connect.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's just a gift that, like, some people have. Like, you see it these days with guys like Chris Stapleton is able to do that. And a guy named Jason Isbell, who's really big on the singer-songwriter scene, he's got that same gift. And I think it's just something you're born with. It's the way that you, because everybody, like, you know, if I saw something out my window right now, I would process it different than you would. So it's like, it's how you, your perception and how that comes out. And I think that's just different all the way across the board. And that's what's always fascinating about just listening to different writers and their inspirations and everything. It's cool. It's just art, you know, like looking at different paintings. I try to view everything with as wide eyes as I possibly can. You know, it keeps me young.
Frustration wears and tears inside my brain. When the negative surrounds, it's hard to stay away. Tell me where I'm supposed to go when there's clearly no escape. Yeah, I've got faith, but it's been shaken a few times. I hate to admit it, but acceptance is divine. And I've never been one to never speak my mind. But these are all the things I need to say before I run out of breath, before I use what's left of me. A seed of thought that grows inside my brain. These are all the things, these are all the things I need to say. There's a growing list of apologies to make. Some for the wrong I've done, some for my conscience sake. Some from the heart they broke, some for the hearts I've break. There is forgiveness that a chosen few receive. It ain't my job to judge, I just call it like I see. Don't mean to ramble on in my search for clarity. But these are all the things I need to say before I run out of breath, before I use what's left of me. A seed of thought that grows inside my brain. Yeah, these are all the things, these are all the things I need to say. Tell them that you love them, show them that you care. Regrets as heavy as a stone that your shoulders shouldn't bear. Your life is all for living, and dying has to wait. Don't hold back on saying all the things you might have locked away. These are all the things I need to say before I run out of breath, before I use what's left of me. A seed of thought that grows inside my brain. Yeah, these are all the things, these are all the things I need to. These are all the things I need to say before I run out of breath, before I use what's
I would say, man, it's life is crazy and life is short, and do what you love and have fun, because my dad always told me, if you do what you love, you're never going to work a day in your life. And thanks for supporting music, and thanks for supporting radio and everything, man. Like, we couldn't do any of this without, you know, anyone else, you know, so it's fun.
Keep it up, you're going to be great.
You're great, man, I appreciate it.
Baby, why is the bluebird in blue? Tell me why.
And there are times you're playing to an empty room and it seems like, oh man, what am I doing? But that's just good rehearsal time. I call it a long sound check.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I call it the uphill fall. Like, I'll just try songs that I've never done before and be like, all right, well, that won't be in the set permanently, but
yeah,
at least we figured that out. You know,
I've gotten to know some bartenders really well from doing that, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the door guys and bartenders. I'm like, hey, what do y'all want here? You know, it's like one of those things.
Yeah, you want me to sing it like Jerry Lewis now, or, you know?
Oh, yeah. My favorite thing to do in those situations, I love the song Michael McDonald's, I Keep Forgetting.
Yeah.
So I'll just, like, play it and do that, I keep forgetting. You know, just go, you just go up great. There, like, it's like one of my favorite things to do, yeah.
Okay. All right. You're wide open for another interview now.
Yeah, we got way more material.
Now that
yeah,
I know you good. Do Michael McDonald.
Oh, dude. It's too good. Too good.
All right. Well, you have a great day.
You too, my friend. Thanks so much for having me on.
Support for Better Each Day comes from BruceHilliardHomes.com. For a better day in buying or selling a home, search BruceHilliardHomes.com or visit our website, Better Each Day, for more information. And while you're there, subscribe to the show. It's free. That's BruceHilliardHomes.com, Windermere Real Estate. And make it better each day.
Radio show with Bruce Hilliard. We'll be back with a new horizon, but until then, honor the future. It comes with a lifetime guarantee.
And we're all just trying to make the next day a bit better.